I tend to think that John on the island of Patmos, as he was banished there, that wasn't the main punishment or torture and being there on the island. It was actually that he was there and from the island, he received the vision to write the book of Revelation, and in that he saw the glory of Christ. And when that was done, he went back on the island and he had to wait to see that glory. The song that we just sang about Christ being ours forevermore, our hearts know a speck of what that will truly be like in glory. We can sing it and be distracted. We can sing it and think about a million things, but there will be a time when our glorified mind is taking in the glory of Christ, where we are not just thinking, but we are realizing the fact that He is forever ours and all that we know of Him. See much of Christ, beloved. Fill your minds, fill your hearts with Christ, with the knowledge of Christ, so that when we sing songs like that, the challenges that the next time you sing that you'd be worshiping Him greater than you did right now. Well, let's go to Him in prayer. Let's ask for His blessing as we jump into John chapter 11. Father in heaven, we come before You solely by the word of the Lord Jesus, giving us this special honor and privilege to come before You, that we can plead with You, we can ask of You, we can worship You. You are on the throne of grace, and we ask that You would extend that grace to us this morning, that we would worship You with a loving and thankful heart. That You would be with those in our body that are not with us today. Help them, Lord, strengthen them, Lord, and get them back to the position where they can join us in worship, join us in fellowship. But be with them now and help us, Lord, to grow by the grace of Your Spirit and through Your word. In Jesus' name. Many of you know that a few weeks ago, longtime pastor and Bible teacher John MacArthur was promoted to glory and is now worshiping his Lord face to face. A few weeks ago, Grace Community Church had a time of reflection where some of their pastors and elders were taking questions and trying to comfort and encourage the congregation. And during that time, Mike McCarty, which is one of the elders there at Grace Community Church, was reminded and shared a intimate moment of John MacArthur's life and the end of his life. As some of you may know, that the mode that the Lord used to call John MacArthur home, he had pneumonia. And it was hard for him to breathe. It was hard for him to speak. But even in those last moments, this man who had been studying the Word of God and preaching the Word of God his whole life was quoting the Word of God in his final breaths. He quoted in 1 Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" And beloved, only those who have fully placed their faith in Christ can say such things. There is a true fear of death that has gripped every man, no matter what they tell you. But Jesus can remove that have us keep this in mind. Everyone who believes in Jesus as the Son of God will escape death and live forever. Everyone who believes in Jesus as the Son of God will escape death and will live forever. Please turn to me to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 17. John 11, 17. This morning we will move through verses 17 through 29 and follow this conversation that Jesus has with Martha. John 11, 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she had heard that Jesus was coming, ran to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying tenderly, The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. It is true. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And that life is only found in Christ. And once you find that life in Christ, you will never die. But even if you were to die, you would still live. This morning we are going to consider this. How is it kind of, how does a person escape death? Look at these first four verses, 17 through 20. John starts the scene for us again as Jesus is now transitioning with his disciples, of course, towards Bethany. But it says that when Jesus came, they found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days already. There was a tradition not to embalm somebody, but to bury somebody the day that they actually died. They would cleanse the person's body, they would wrap the person in cloth, and they would anoint the person, and they would put that deceased person in a tomb the same day. And so the amount of days that Lazarus has been in the tomb is the amount of days that Lazarus has been dead. He's been dead for 4 days. And John gives us insight in verse 18 about Bethany and how it's about 2 miles off. A really good measurement. Jerusalem to Bethany would be here to the post office. It's about the same distance, 1.8 miles. That's why it makes sense that the disciples were fearful and hesitant. Can you imagine if there were people that wanted to kill you and they were at the post office? You might want to work your turn away in opposite direction. So as Jesus is then on the road to Bethany in the previous passage, the disciples are asking him, "Are you sure? Do you remember? Do you recall what was happening there when they picked up stones to kill you?" But Bethany is close to Jerusalem, and that makes sense also for the Jews in Jerusalem to leave and to go to Bethany to give comfort and encouragement to the grieving sisters, Martha and Mary. And verse 20 shows us the unique difference between Martha and Mary. Perhaps Martha was the first one to hear that Jesus had arrived, because Mary stays sitting at home, which is normal in that grieving period for weeks. The family was grieving their relative would stay in their home, and people would come and act as a support and carry out the day-to-day routines and the necessities around the home to allow the family to grieve. But Martha has broken away from that when she hears that Jesus has arrived, and she's gone out to meet Jesus while Mary stays at home. Let's look at this conversation that Martha has with the Lord. In verse 21, Martha then says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God will give you." And so Martha knows two things very well. She knows that Jesus has the power to heal. She knows that Jesus has the power to heal. And that's why she told him what she told him. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 30, we read that a large crowd came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. And Martha knows this. She knows that Jesus is able to heal. So she tells her, "If you were here, my brother would not have died." Martha also knows this, that Jesus is highly favored by God, and that God can, that Jesus can ask God whatever he wishes, and good will come. And I'm sure that we can relate to Martha. Many times we believe that Jesus can do something. We just don't know what Jesus will do. And so we go to him and we ask. And every time this we need to hope and wait, and sometimes that waiting is so long it tests our heart. And we begin to just deal with whatever situation we're in. And just kind of swallow it, realize that this is what God has allowed, and we've always prayed about it, and maybe God will do something, maybe you are going through something, maybe He'll do something in a day, maybe He'll do something in a year, maybe He'll do something and have the right for glory to come. And it's a deflated spirit because we don't get what we want right away. We don't get things like we ask right away. And so our Christianity becomes a Christianity of promises that we can only look forward to in the distant future. Something to look forward to later. You know, in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it tells you what the chief end of man is. The chief end of man is to worship God and enjoy Him forever. Not just enjoy Him in eternity, or enjoy Him when you're in glorification, but to even enjoy Him now. Forever means moment by moment, consistently, without
that we sing, we can give you this world, or we can have this world, but give me Jesus, right? We can have this world. We can have all the things associated with this world. We can have it. I don't want it. Why? Because I want Jesus, because my treasure is Jesus. And Martha was looking at Jesus' ability to resurrect later and what God might do later. In verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. What did she say? I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Martha had an excellent theology regarding the future resurrection. And all the Jews, besides the Pharisees, held to a resurrection in the last days. Job 19:25-27, Job says this, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the last, he will take his stand on the earth, even after my skin is destroyed. Yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me. Job knew that he would see God even if he died, even after he died. In Daniel 12:2, it's told this, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Through the Old Testament, we read and find portions of Scripture where they acknowledge a future resurrection, and Martha was aware of that. Where Martha was strong in her theology of the resurrection, her faith lacked the fact that if Jesus has the power to do it in the future, why doesn't he have the power to do it right now? Jesus is not the God of tomorrow, the God of immediate glory. You'll be blessed by him in the future. He is God right now. And he has existed as God from the beginning, with God, as the Word of God, as the eternal Son of God. He's working now. And he's working forevermore. We can go to him right now for help right now. Psalm 36:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. You can also translate that as abundantly available for help. God is abundantly available for help. Look, I think God is the God who has help abundantly available to me whenever I need it. And Martha is speaking to somebody that's abundantly available for help. And what she has said has flung open a teaching opportunity for the Lord Jesus. In verse 25, he tells her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus tells her clearly, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Not, I will be the resurrection, and I will at some point provide life. Just as Jesus is a good shepherd right now, so is the resurrection right now, so is the life right now. It's not a declaration of what
people that are good at this in the right? So, this is Jesus' fifth I am statement. And each of these statements, they testify to his deity. Here, Jesus wants Martha to know not just that he has favor with God, but that he is God. And as God, Jesus has power over the power of resurrection and life. In John 5:21, Jesus says this, for Joseph the Father raises the dead and gives them life. Even so, the Son of God gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so the Father deliberately gives Jesus this role, this authority, so that the Son would receive honor. And you remember the reason that Jesus gives for the purpose of Lazarus' death. In John 11:4, Jesus tells them that Lazarus' sickness is not to end or for the purpose of death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. And so this resurrection, this life that is Jesus, it's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. Did he show up because he cares for the family? Of course. Did he show up because he cares for Lazarus? Of course, he loves them. He loves Lazarus. But God also loves his glory. He loves his glory. We're not God. We can't love our glory. We can't seek our own glory. We're called to seek the glory of God. And God seeks his own glory and doesn't share that glory with anybody else. He is so glorious that he can allow Lazarus to die, knowing that he will bring Lazarus back up to life so that all that are there will witness it and glorify him as God. It's all worth it. All of it is worth it. We read two different truths here after Jesus tells us that he is the resurrection and the life. The first truth is that he who believes in Jesus will live even if he dies. If your faith is in Jesus, you will live even if you die. So this first truth is about Jesus' resurrection power over physical death. Jesus is the only one to walk this earth that can give power over physical death. There are doctors and all kinds of people that think that they can give you an extra day, an extra minute of your life. And they can't. Nobody can but God. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will live even if you die. And the second truth is that everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. But this is speaking of Jesus' power to give spiritual life. He has power over physical death, and he has power to give spiritual life, so that you may be born again now and never experience death. To those that are born again, death is a blink. It is a blinking of the eye of seeing everything that we have here in one moment and seeing everything that is in Christ, the very next moment. No death. No death.
inspiration for this verse and the Legacy Standard Bible. It is translated like this: "And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die ever." It's a static statement. It is one of the strongest Greek negations. You can say no, you can say never, and you can say never ever. And that is what Jesus is telling Martha. That if you believe in him, you will never ever die. Both of these truths, they hinge on one very important point. And that point is this: he who believes. Jesus said it twice. He who believes in me, and then he also says, and everyone who lives by believes in me. Not everyone who is perfect, not everyone who goes to church. Jesus said, everyone who believes in me. How do you escape death's grasp? By believing in Jesus. How do you remove the fear of death? By believing in Jesus. How do you defame the snake of death? By believing that Jesus is the Son of God, sent by the Father, to be the Savior of this world. To take death away. To take death away. You must abandon and reject and repent of all the trust and self-reliance and throw yourself at the mercy of God and receive his Son as Savior. That is how you defeat death. That is how you escape death. Finally, Martha calls, or excuse me, Martha is called to respond by Jesus. And we can use more of this. We can grow in our Christ-likeness by calling people to respond as we evangelize, or as we go and speak and proclaim Christ to others. Don't let people up forever without calling them to respond. It would love for you to just say what you want to say and walk away. But these four words are powerful. Jesus, after saying these wonderful truths to Martha, and he knows all things, even what's in Martha's heart, still tells Martha, do you believe this? And we need to receive this, beloved. We need to know that this question is not for Martha's sake alone. But as we're reading this, as I'm proclaiming this right now, the question is this: do you believe this? Do you believe what Jesus is saying? Do you believe that he gives power over physical death? Do you believe that by believing in him, you have spiritual life forevermore? That dying is a belief. And if that's the case, if you truly believe that, is that the life that you live, beloved? Do you live a life that is marked by the glory of Christ and the fact that he's called you to new life in him? A new life, a new heart, a new creation. You're not what you used to be, but you are purely and absolutely different. Even as though a righteous person hijacked the wicked you and now lives by the power of Christ. That's it. That's the gospel. That's living the gospel. He said, do you believe this? And it is not an intellectual question. Like, have you connected the dots, Martha? No. Beloved, it's that you are alive in Christ. We can please turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. Here, Paul makes the same point. Ephesians chapter 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Oh, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Does your life prove that you believe this? And Martha said, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And I bet the Apostle John was so thrilled and so thankful. She gets it. This is faith. This is the reason why John writes this gospel. Because she believes in Jesus being who he is. But there is an issue. But she said, just one small one. She says, I have believed. And that's not to say that she doesn't believe now, but the fact is that Jesus is not calling her to consider if she's ever believed, or at some point has she believed, but is she believing him now? Beloved, when you turn to the Lord, you're so thrilled. When you think of Christ, every day it was like new jewelry that she was wearing. Gems and so many precious treasures in Christ. Have you discovered them all? Where now we can hear Christ, we can be in Christ, and not fall on your knees and praise Him for how great He is. How lovely He is. How wonderful He is. Powerful He is. God is giving you freedom from that sin reigning in your heart, setting you free. Jesus, later on in verse 39 and 40, points out how this a little bit of doubt has crept into Martha's heart. In verse 39, Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the chief, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, dare I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus recognized some doubt that was there in Martha's heart. I mean, you'd be familiar with this. We believe in the Lord, and we trust in who He says He is, but there are times that challenge us, that distract us of all the natural things that are going on in life, and it makes us question if Jesus is real, if Jesus' love for me is actually real right now, if Jesus is actually loving me. How can you love me when my life is like this, when this person has done this, when this has happened? It's a real challenge. People come to us to comfort us and reassure us that we believe. And we may even argue and say, I have believed. But the question is, are you believing now? Do you believe right now? And who you know Jesus to be. Basically, Martha is saying, there's no reason to open the tomb, only to let out the smell of death. And we can be just like that, or less than these supernatural things. Jesus has demonstrated an immense amount of patience with Martha, who loves her. He's listened to her. He's answered her questions. He's tried to comfort her. But it made me cry when my son's down, as she has. So Martha, in verse 28, after saying these things, she went away. She called her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and was coming to him. And clearly, Mary didn't know in the beginning when Martha left. Because now, as Martha lets Mary know that Jesus is outside or is right there, it is as though Martha's not even done speaking and Mary is already up. Like a trusting sheep running to a shepherd, she's already gone. And that is my hope, beloved. That is my hope for anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as the resurrection and the life. That you would place your faith in this Savior and this Jesus, and you would fly to him as well. That you would delay, that you would doubt, but that you would go to him and cast yourself upon him. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. And then in John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Beloved, if you have placed your faith in this Jesus, then you can say, with Paul, from 1 Corinthians 15:54, but when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. He is the resurrection, he is the life, and this church is evidence of that as we see him here in the lives of so many saints. Let's praise him for that. Father, I thank you so much for calling so many to us to bring glory to you and to your name. Surely, you tell the truth. You are the resurrection, and you are the life. And our hope is firmly in you. Help our hearts when we struggle to quickly grab a hold of you and your precious promises, Lord, that you do give eternal life, and that nobody snatches us out of your hand or out of the Father's hands. Lord, thank you for these precious truths. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in the fact that you have defamed the snake of death, and by that we can praise you and we can rejoice, because we have you now and we'll have you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.